Little White Lies, written by Emma Blair and read by Jane McFarlane.
Chapter 1. Sweet Jesus, Ethne McDougall muttered on her first sighting of Thistle Street. It was a dump, an absolute and appalling rubbish-strewn slum. A lump rose in her throat and threatened to choke her. Ethne's daughter Lizzie, sitting alongside, regarded the street with horror. "Oh, Ma," she whispered. "Damn you, Dougal," Ethne inwardly raged. It was because of him they'd been forced to come and live in this hellhole. She vowed there and then she'd never forgive her husband as long as she lived. Never. "What's the number?" asked Mr. Walker, the haulier who'd brought them and their belongings all the way down from the Highlands to the great ugly urban sprawl that was Glasgow. 34, Ethne croaked. Mr. Walker flicked the reins and the horse continued on its way, the well-laden cart rattling over the cobbles. "It's maybe not as bad as it looks," Lizzie said hopefully to Ethne, trying to kid herself. Ethne shot Lizzie a glance, which said she didn't believe a word of it. If anything, Ethne reflected, it was probably worse. Two middle-aged women with scarves tied round their heads, even though it was the height of summer, paused in their gossiping to stare curiously at them as they went past. Lizzie wrinkled her nose in disgust. Thistle Street, like many they'd gone along since entering Glasgow, positively stank, reeking of chimney smoke, body odour, stale kitchen smells, human waste and God knows what else. "Here we are," Mr. Walker eventually announced, drawing up in front of number 34. This was his first visit to Glasgow, and would certainly be the last, since he thought it was as awful as Ethne and Lizzie did. He couldn't wait to get turned round and out of the place. In truth, apart from loathing the city, he sensed a menacing air about it that frightened him. A few moments later, a smiling Dougal appeared from the mouth of the close, which was the entrance to their tenement. "There you are," he beamed. "I spotted you from the window. I was watching out for your arrival." Ethne remained silent as he helped her down onto the pavement, nor did she respond to the quick peck he gave her on the cheek. "It's grand to see you again, lass," he went on. "I've missed you somewhat chronic." Ethne glanced into his face and saw the sincerity there. She'd missed him too, but wasn't about to say so. "So how was the journey down?" he asked.
"Long."
"Aye, well, it was bound to be that. Tom and Tool is a long way away." Mr. Walker lit up a cigarette while this exchange was taking place and sniffed disapproval of his surroundings. The sooner he was out of here, the better. Dougal turned his attention to the hovering Lizzie. "And how are you, my girl? You look in the pink." "Starving, Dad." He pulled a face. "Well, you'll have to wait a wee while longer before we can attend to that. Mr. Walker and I have to unload this cart first and get everything upstairs." "It wasn't part of my fee to unload as well as load," Mr. Walker protested. "There was never any mention of that." "Oh, see sense, man. I can't do it all by myself. You must have realised." "I did nothing of the sort. I was contracted to load the cart and bring it here, nothing more." "If Dougie has to do it by himself with the help of me and Lizzie here, then it's going to take a lot longer than if you get stuck in," Ethne pointed out shrewdly. Mr. Walker saw the sense in that, not wanting to stick around Thistle Street for a second longer than he had to. "For an extra half-crown, perhaps," he tried to bargain. "Not a brass farthing more, Mr. Walker," Ethne retorted sharply. "Your so-called fee is daylight robbery as it is." Mr. Walker gazed up at the towering, to him anyway, soot-encrusted building. "What floor?" he queried.
"Top,"
Mr. Walker groaned. "Just his bloody luck. It would have to be that." "Then let's get started," he grumbled. "You and Lizzie go on up. The door's open," Dougie told his wife. "Top right-hand side." "Take something with you," Ethne said to Lizzie, grabbing hold of a rolled-up rug that was one of her prized possessions. Then she led the way into the dark maw that was the close. The stairs she and Lizzie climbed were made of grey slate and concave in the middle from years of use. The walls were half-tiled, in a cream and brown design that wasn't wholly unattractive.